grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, with all your faithful followers of every age, we praise you, the rock of our life. Be our strong foundation and form us into the body of your Son, that we may gladly minister to all the world through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated.
How's it going? Let me get the offering plate, and I'm going to put that right behind you. Don't look at it yet. It's a big surprise. Big surprise, if you think. Thank you. All right. Well, gather around. Gather around. Oh, maybe it's really hard bread. So go ahead and gather around. Gather around. You want to come over here, Mom? So now, all right, you can see from here. All right. Do you know what my nickname was when I was a kid? It was Speedy. Can you imagine why? Somebody got it because I was fast, because I was running all around. My brother's name was Blue Eyes. Can you imagine why? That's right. So, but a lot of people call me Tom. A lot of people call me Tommy. Do you have any nicknames like that? Oh, don't look at it. Big surprise. Here. No, I don't know if it's that. Don't know if it's that. Penny? People call you Penny? Do you guys have any nicknames? Because your name is Penelope? Okay. No nicknames. What other nicknames do you guys have? Do you have any nicknames? Nobody calls everybody. What about what you do? What nickname would you have? What do you think you'd have a nickname for?
Know-it-all?
What are you good at? What are things that... Math? So maybe arithmetic or... I don't know.
Arithmetic
is still the same amount of syllables. Well, then maybe math or genius or something like that. There we go. Do you guys have anything you're good at? That
baseball?
What would you like your nickname to be in baseball?
Ball.
Hammer? Hammer? Why do they call you? Oh, because you slug it? Yeah, that's awesome. Well, today, we're going to hear about Jesus giving somebody a nickname. Have you heard of Simon in the Bible? Simon? Yeah. Do you know what his name is that he gets today, that we hear about today? Let me give you a hint.
Rock.
Yeah, it's rock.
Oh, my God, I'm a king. I already knew that.
Yeah, so being a rock, though, do we know anybody in the Bible named Rock? God can be like a rock, yes. But anybody that's named particularly Rock, four letters, R-O-C-K, anybody? No. Well, we do know one. We know
Simon.
That's right, it's Simon. Simon today is called Peter, who is the Rock. That's right. Oh, that's a gold folk song. So today, if you think about what a rock might mean, what would a rock be? What do you think Peter was good at? Don't hit. What do you think Peter was good at that
moving
he might be called
rock.
A, maybe moving rocks.
Climbing.
Well, he was a fisherman. He might sink in the water if he was a rock, right? You know, what are some of the other things that he might be good at? What about his faith? Oh, maybe. Maybe that's something we'll hear about today more, but maybe he's solid as a rock. Maybe his faith is like that. I've got it. It's all right. Sorry, you're not going to get it from me today. But maybe his faith is as solid as a rock. And maybe ours can be too. Maybe he can be sort of the foundation, the sort of type that we can get. And that can be our nickname too. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank you for this foundation in your followers that you give us, that our faith too can be solid as a rock, that through your word we might have a greater foundation even than these, and that our foundation can be solid throughout all our life long through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right. No Sunday school. So you can get a rock later here. I'm going to take it from you. All right. There's plenty in the garden.
Children, all the...
Reading from Isaiah. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he is but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort her, all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. Word of God, word of life. Psalm 138, responsively. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me. They will sing all of the ways of the Lord. That great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high.
Walk in the midst of trouble. You keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will make good your purpose for me, O Lord.
Second reading from Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed in this world to this world, but be transferred by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the healer in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks. Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Schmieding, who's just walking in the door over here. Ellen is the president of our congregation, and Ellen and I have lunch together once a month just to sit down and talk about life at St. Peter's. And last month, I met her at her place of work downtown and noticed that the lobby at St. Paul's Manor had been newly renovated. And in the renovation, they built into the wall, a little niche for a statue. And a donor commissioned a statue of St. Paul to be in that niche, to be carved. And when that statue arrived and it was placed, people looked at it and kind of scratched their head and said, something's not right about that statue. The problem is, we don't know what St. Paul looked like, or any of the apostles, for that matter, or Jesus. We don't know what they looked like. There's no descriptions in the Bible of anybody. Well, we do have a couple. Zacchaeus, we know he's short, and Bartimaeus was blind. Other than that, we know occupations, and we assume that because they were Middle Easterners, we have an idea of what they might look like, but we don't really have any description. And we wonder about that because we take pictures and know what everything looks like, from Facebook pictures of every meal you've ever eaten, and then Snapchat and Instagram, we see a lot of pictures, and so we wonder, what did Paul look like? And the real wonder is, what did Jesus look like? You know, 3 years of preaching and teaching, we get a lot of that in the New Testament. Healing and what Jesus was doing, but we don't have any description of him. You know, didn't anybody have a Brownie camera at least? You know, that we could have a picture to know. Well, in the second century, there was a writing, some letters that circulated among the churches. It was called the Acts of Paul and Thecla. And Thecla was a saint of the church. And she writes in this book that Titus was telling his friend, go meet Paul at the gate, at the city gate, and he's coming. And this is what you should look for. Look for a man who is small in size, bald-headed, bow-legged, well-built with eyebrows that met, rather long-nosed, and full of grace. Well, that's a description. That book never made it into the Bible, so that's not a canonical book. But we have this image, then, of St. Paul. And wood carvers and icon writers and artists throughout the centuries have known of this description of Paul, and he's always shown as bald, with just a tuft of hair right in the front, that he's balding. Would that be balding from the back? So he's balding and has just this tuft of hair in the center, and always a long nose, usually with a book in his hand, because Paul was a preacher and a writer. So he's pictured with a book in his hand, sometimes with a sword, because he was martyred by the sword by Nero in Rome. So he's described like that, and so we know what Paul might have looked like. Well, the carver at St. Paul's Manor, or the carver of the statue that's at St. Paul's Manor, got it right, but he also got it wrong. And that's why there are so many questioning looks. Bald head, tuft of hair right in the center, rather long nose, a book in the hand. There might be is there a sword? Where's Ellen? There's no sword in his hand. But the thing that caused the question is that in this hand are keys. What's wrong? Why don't we have keys in Paul's hand? Because that's the symbol of Peter. And we all know that. We don't know what Paul looked like. We don't know what Peter looked like. But we know that a statue with keys is going to be Peter. And a statue with a book or a sword and the bald head is going to be Paul. Here we are in St. Peter's church, surrounded by images, not depictions of Peter, but keys. Do you ever notice how many keys there are in our windows? These windows were purchased and dedicated in 1966. And any guess on how much a pair of windows cost in 1966? Leaded stained glass windows made in Pasadena. $290 for two. It costs us more than that to have one window repaired now. So here we are, and I thought it would be good for us to look at these symbols that we have in our windows, and because we are so surrounded by them, we need to know what they mean, what they are. So I'm going to start. These windows are the story, all the windows, are the story of Peter's life with Christ and after the resurrection. So we'll start with this this image here. This is the calling of Peter and his brother Andrew. They were fishermen, so we have the net and the fish, two fish indicating the two brothers who are called here in the water. So this is the calling, and here are the images of who is called. So we have the keys for Peter, the cross that's shaped like an X. This is the traditional symbol for Andrew, because Andrew was crucified on an inverted cross. This is called the anchor cross, and it's upside down. The anchor is upside down because the tradition, the legend, or the tradition of the church is that Andrew was crucified on this cross upside down. So this is the image for Andrew. And here is the image for Jesus, for Christ. It's a shepherd's staff and a cross. The shepherd, Jesus, the good shepherd, calling Andrew and Peter. Then we move on to this window. This is the transfiguration. Peter was one of the three disciples that watched and saw Jesus in the transfiguration on the mountain. And the other people that were seen on the transfiguration is Moses. So here's an image, the Ten Commandments, the stone tablets that Moses received when he was on the mountain. And so when Peter, James, and John saw Jesus being transfigured, his clothing becoming bright white, and with him they saw two other people, Moses and Elijah. This is, I'll do Elijah. This wheel is a chariot's wheel, and Elijah was taken up to heaven on a chariot that looked like it was on fire. So he was taken into heaven on a chariot on fire. So this is the symbol for Elijah. And this is the symbol for Christ. It's two Greek letters, the first two letters of Jesus' name, of Christ. The key here, and this is a row. Kairo. The image for Christ. And you see that it looks like a P and an X, and that symbol is used for Christ. And you'll see it in some other windows as well. This was a highlight of Peter's life, seeing Jesus transfigured, his faith secured. This is foundational. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah. He saw that transfiguration. This window depicts a low point in Peter's life. A low point because even though Peter had seen this transfiguration on the day of Jesus' arrest and conviction and execution as a traitor, as a blasphemer, Peter denied that he even knew Jesus. He denied him not once, but three times. So the number three, showing us that Jesus was denied by Peter, the person that he saw, that saw Jesus transfigured, and now he says, I don't even know who you're talking about. I don't know the man. And Jesus had predicted that. Jesus said to Peter, before the cock crows at dawn, you will have denied me three times. And Peter said, oh no, that would never happen. So this is the rooster crowing. And so this is Peter's, I think that's probably one of the most beautiful windows in the church, and it shows us the low point in Peter's life. Now, the next window is in the cry room. I'm going to talk about it anyways, and then you can take a look at it. In 1966, this window here was placed over here. When the church was expanded, the windows were moved. So this window is still about Peter's life when Jesus was alive. This is this window has a lamb. Jesus is the good shepherd, the Lamb of God, and he tells Peter, here's the keys again. This is a martyr's cross. It has the regular cross, and then it's got a bar in the top that shows us that's a martyr's cross, because just like Jesus was crucified, other people have given their life for Jesus, for the sake of the faith. Peter denied Jesus three times. In a walk on the beach, Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? And Peter answered, yes, I love you. And then Jesus asks him again, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? And Jesus was saying to Peter every time, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. So we have an image of three little lamb heads when Jesus said, feed my lambs. So he's commissioning Peter to be the good shepherd, to be the shepherd. This is the image of the ascension. We have I, H, C, which are the three Greek letters meaning Jesus Christ, with a crown in heaven. Jesus is crowned in heaven. Two wings showing that this is going up, the ascending, and another image of Peter, who saw the ascension, who saw Jesus ascend to heaven. We have the image of Peter with the two keys that are crossed over an upside down cross. Upside down cross because Peter was crucified. His execution came and he was crucified upside down. Not like Jesus, but upside down with his head at the bottom of the cross. So that is also Andrew's symbol is the X cross, and Peter's symbol is the upside down cross. So whenever you see that, that's another sign for Peter. This is the Pentecost window. And we see here the signs of the Holy Spirit. Fire came down upon the apostles who were gathered in that upper room. And there's seven. I should ask one of the confirmation kids, or maybe you all who remember your confirmation, or who remember your baptism, what these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Anybody? Knowledge, wisdom, counsel. Knowledge, wisdom, counsel, fear of the Lord, peace, patience, and understanding. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit are coming down. Here's a symbol of the Trinity. And the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the dove, the rays coming is God the Father, and the cross right here is the symbol of Jesus. So we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The praying hands are a symbol of the church. So the gifts of the Spirit are given not just to the apostles in that upper room, but the gifts of the Spirit are given to the whole church. Not only the church at prayer, but the church at work. Bicker Thomas said, God's hands, our work. God's work, our hands. So these are our hands at God's work, our hands. This is a action window as well as the Pentecost window. The story in the Acts of the Apostles tells us that Peter, after Jesus' resurrection, was called to visit with Tabitha, Dorcas. And he went to the house where Dorcas had lived. She had died. Her friends and family were all gathered around her, and they were showing Peter all of the things, like, look at this beautiful material, this clothing that she had made. Look at this beautiful thing that she had created. And they were all very sad that Dorcas, this wonderful good woman, or Tabitha, had died. And then Peter prayed in Jesus' name, and she was raised to life. The cross of Christ. So this could be the window of Peter's healing, or it could be the image of the resurrection. Because the butterfly is a symbol of new life. New life, renewed life. Bob read in the passage this morning, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. And that's what happens in new life. Not like the world sees, but a new life. And this is an image for us. And again, we see the key of Peter and the symbols of the disciples and the apostles watching that. Peter was imprisoned, as was Paul. And so this window can be Peter and Paul. They probably weren't cellmates. They were never in prison at the same time, but they were both imprisoned and both in chains. We have the image of the upside down cross, tells us that this is Peter, and the crossed keys. One key, usually in these windows, you'll notice that one key is gold and one key is silver. And that we get that imaging from the passage this morning that said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound on earth. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the two keys, binding key and loosing key, locking and unlocking. And the chains are an image of the time in prison. And here, the two shafts of light coming through the prison. Even though they were imprisoned, the presence of God was with them. Even though there are times in our lives where we feel alone or we feel that we're locked up on something, the presence of God is with us. This can be a very encouraging window. The broken chain, the shafts of light that come into our darkness or into our sadness, that God is still there, even though they were in prison. God was with them. Our final window is a window of Peter and Paul. The two fish crossed is, so we learned the Greek word for rock is Petros. Is that right, Thomas? Did I say it right? We were having the discussion this morning. The Greek word for fish is ichthus. And if you did a monogram or initials, I-C-H-T, U-S.
Ictus.
That means Jesus Christ, Son of God, our Savior. So if you took that symbol and said Jesus, that's an I, or because they don't have J's, an I, C, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. That means fish. In the early church, when the Christians were being persecuted, you couldn't trust if somebody was going to turn you in if you were Christian, so you would use a symbol of Christ, and a symbol would be the symbol of the fish. And so if I'm talking and I want to know if you're Christian too, I might make a little symbol of a fish on the ground with my toe in the sand, and you look at it and you'd make a symbol of the fish too, and then that would tell me that you're Christian and I'm Christian. If you're not Christian, you'd look and say, a fish. So it's like secret code. So this is Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. Shows us that they're in Rome, the Roman architecture. The book, the open book, is the Word of God being proclaimed in Rome, and the sword for St. Paul, who was killed by the sword. And there is a cross in this window. So this is Paul, and this is Peter, with the upside down cross, the keys crossed, and the ray of light shining down is Christ shining in their martyrdom, that Peter and Paul were martyred. So those are our windows, and I want to read one thing. I found a sermon series in 1974. Any of you around then? 1970 in church? Pardon? Oh, okay. Pastor Linton gave a summer series on the windows. So I did that in that time. He did one window a Sunday. Quite long. And I want to read just this. This was from he was talking about this second window. Now, every sermon message should be more than explaining scripture, symbols in a window, or the history of events and people connected to God and Christ. We call this application. How does all this ancient information apply to you and to me? Pastor Linton wrote, I will begin by saying that our one big responsibility as confessing Christians is to carry on the teachings of Jesus Christ. And in order to do this, we need models, examples, ideas, inspiration. So we are sitting here surrounded by these images, examples, ideas, and inspiration. So may those windows and the surrounding of those images of Peter's life be an inspiration for us, an encouragement in times of darkness, this coming of the Spirit when we need to make decisions or in counsel and understanding, in wisdom. So cling to that rock. Another symbol of our faith. The rock, not meaning Peter, but the rock is the truth, the truth of the faith. That's what the church is built on. Not on a human, but on that inspiration that was given to Peter by God, when Jesus said, no human told you this. This came from God. That is the rock that our faith is built on. That promise of forgiveness, that promise of mercy, that's the rock of our faith. Amen.